In today's gospel, Christ teaches us the commandment of love of God and neighbor. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Many, 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 many years ago, when I was growing up, over in Jaffrey, I remember with great fondness what appears to me now to have been the endless summer. You know, when you were 9 or 10 years old, you got out of school in middle of June, didn't have to go back to school until after Labor Day. It was like you had, it was like endless, you know, the whole summer ahead of you was just wonderful. And I remember over there in Jaffrey anyway, in my little neighborhood, everybody ate supper about 5 o'clock, 5:30. So by 6 o'clock, 6:15, all the kids would come out to play because you had 2 or 3 hours left of sunrise. So we'd all come out. There was a basketball court in somebody's driveway. There was a croquet set over here. There was a badminton set over there. So 8 or 9 of us would get together and just have a wonderful evening. We're all 9, 10, 11 years old. But I remember very distinctly on many occasions as I was leaving the house, my mother saying to me, "Be good to the little ones. Be good to the little ones." Now, what she meant by that was this. You know, some of the kids, my friends, had little brothers and sisters. They would always want to tag along, right? The little ones. Because you didn't want them around. You didn't want those little pests around, you know. But and you'd be tempted to pick on them and get rid of them. And my mother would say, "Be good to the little ones." Now, I share that with you today because I think that's exactly what God is teaching us in the scriptures today. That you and I must be good to the little ones. Now, in the scripture, the term little ones does not mean children. It means anybody who can't take care of themselves, anybody in special need who can't deal with the issues themselves. We see that in the first reading today from the book of Exodus. Now God has freed the Jewish people. They're on their way to the Holy Land, and he's teaching them along the way what he expects of them. What does he say to them today? "Be good to the alien among you. Because you once were aliens in the land of Egypt, and I took care of you. Be good to orphans and widows, because you were like orphans and widows when you were in slavery, and I took care of you," and so forth. The little ones who couldn't take care of themselves, be good to the little ones. And Jesus repeats the same thing in the gospel today, doesn't he? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You will love your neighbor as yourself." Now, those two commandments, love of God and love of neighbor, are found in the Old Testament. But they're not put together the way Jesus puts them together. He says you can't love God without loving your neighbor. Because if you love God, you love those who God loves. And that means everyone, especially the little ones, those who can't take care of themselves. Remember that wonderful scene of the Last Judgment, St. Matthew, "I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. The little ones. Take care of the little ones. When we love God, we will love those God loves. And when we love those gods that God loves, we're loving God. They go together. Now, we've heard all that many times before, I suppose. But sometimes it strikes home most deeply when we see an example of what that means. I'd like to share with one of those examples with you this morning. I think I might have mentioned this man's name in passing in the past. But given the nature of today's scriptures, I think it's good to look at him more deeply. It's a wonderful model for us of what this means. His name is Pier Giorgio Frassati. You probably have never heard the name before. I hadn't myself until a couple of years ago. He was born in 1901 in Turin, Italy. Born into a very wealthy family. His father was the editor of the paper La Stampa. Even today, La Stampa is one of the great daily newspapers in Italy. His father ran that very wealthy family. So Pier Giorgio was born, in a sense, with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was just a wonderful, normal young man. There are pictures of him as a teenager and as a young man with his friends. They're off hiking. They're out skiing in the mountains. Big smile on his face, just a wonderful young man, privileged, but a wonderful young man. But what's most interesting about him is this. He was from a very early age, a very devout Catholic, which was a little bit surprising in the sense that his parents, even though they were nominally Catholic, were not necessarily that into it, so to speak. But somewhere along the way, he had developed a very deep faith. We're told that when he was in his teenage years, and even later on, he'd spend 2 or 3 hours a week in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, praying, loving God. But what's most interesting about him for our purposes is this. From the earliest of ages, he had a very compassionate love for the poor. There are many stories about him. I'll just share a couple of them this morning with you. When he was 6 years old, one day a knock came on the door of his house, very nice house in a wealthy part of Turin. His mother opens the door. He goes with her, and she opens the door. And standing there is obviously a very poor woman, begging, telling his mother what she needed. And as he's standing there with his mother listening to all this, he notices this little boy, who apparently is the woman's son, with her there. He's about Pier Giorgio's same age. As Pier Giorgio is listening to all this, he looks and he sees the little boy doesn't have any shoes. So he takes off his shoes and gives them to the little boy. 6 years old, takes off his shoes, gives them to the little boy. When he was in grammar school, his school was 2 or 3 miles away from their home, so every morning his parents would give him money for the trolley, money to go and come on the trolley to go back to school. So he'd get on the trolley, pay his fare in the morning, and go to school. But very, very often in the afternoon, when he got to the trolley, he'd look around and he'd find a poor person. He'd give the poor person the trolley money. Then he would run home 2 or 3 miles to get there in time for supper. His parents were very strict. At table at 6 o'clock, he'd take the trolley money, give it to somebody who was poor, and run home to be there in time for supper. When he got older, whenever he traveled by train in Italy, he always would travel third class. Now, in those days, depending on what you paid, you'd get nice, beautiful compartments or not so good, then third class was like benches in the train, you know. He could very easily afford first class. Always traveled third class. Somebody asked him one day, why do you travel third class? You know what his answer was? Because there's no fourth class. He'd take the money he saved by traveling third class rather than first class and give it to the poor. When he graduated from high school, his father, to reward him for work well done, said to him, "You can either have a car, or I'll give you the money the car would cost. What do you want?" He said, "Give me the money," which he then promptly distributed to the poor. He contracted polio when he was 24 years old, and he died in a couple of weeks. His parents, because of the social set they were in, thought that the cathedral would be filled with the upper class of the society of Turin, and there were a lot of those people there. What they didn't count on, what nobody counted on, was the hundreds, thousands of people from the poor sections of Turin who came to the funeral that day, lined the streets, because they wanted to honor this man. Now, when he had gone to all those poor sections of Turin, Pier Giorgio never identified himself to them. They didn't know he was rich. They didn't know much about him. He was just a good man who came to help them, bring them food, bring them medicine, got to know them, got to know their families. But when he died and they saw his picture in the paper, they knew who he was. They flocked to his funeral, thousands of them, because he had been good to the little ones. He'd been good to the little ones. Back about 15 years ago, Pier Giorgio Frassati was beatified by the Pope. One step away from sainthood, beatified, because in an exemplary way, he had taken care, was kind to the little ones. Now, when you hear his story, how does it make you feel? You know, I'm personally very moved by it, but then I have to ask myself, what do I do for the little ones? What do I do for the ones who can't take care of themselves? Do I do enough? As you think about that, as I think about that, because that's what God asks of us, isn't it? If you love me, you love those I love, especially the little ones. Let me conclude with a thought. Way back in the 4th century, one of the great teachers and saints of the early church, St. John Chrysostom, who was the bishop of Constantinople to the present-day Istanbul, in one of his homilies, he said these words. Think about this now. This is what he said in one of his homilies. If you have two shirts in your closet, one of them belongs to you. The other one belongs to somebody who doesn't have a shirt. I think he meant that literally. I think he was saying to you and me, we should go home today, give ourselves one shirt and take everything else out and bring it to the poor. Is that what he meant? Literally? Or was he only talking poetically, getting us to understand? I don't know. Certainly provocative, though, isn't it? If you have more than one shirt in your closet, the rest belongs to the poor. Not that you should give them to the poor. They belong to the poor. That's pretty extreme. Pretty almost scandalous to our way of thinking. But anyway, as we come here today, the question for us might be this. Who do you know that's a little one? Or little ones who can't take care of themselves, much as they try, much as they strive? Who do you know? Your own family, your neighborhoods, your schools. Who are the little ones? And are you being good to the little ones? Are you being good to the little ones? May God bless you.